It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show, a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Thank you for joining us. My guest is Renette Davila. Today's topic is From a Cult to Finding Love Behind Bars. Renette has overcome many obstacles in her life. Today we'll chat about her experience with a cult and how she found love and marriage behind bars. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are more than welcome. So Let's get right into it. So look, You've been through a lot. You've been through domestic violence and homelessness, and you were connected to a cult in some way, shape, or form. And you are currently married, and we will get into that a little later in the show.
That's
but
a good part.
Right now, I want to talk to you a little bit about your connection with the cult. Talk to me a little bit about how that happened. You know, Renette, there are so many young girls out here. There are individuals that are unsure of what they're getting themselves into. And you've gone through it. You've come out it. So I want you to share a little bit about your story. How did you get involved with it?
Okay. Actually, for me, I grew up in church. And there came a point in my life that I wanted more than what I was getting. And that's not to say that there was anything wrong with the church that I was a part of, but I hungered for more. And I was like, the things that I saw in the Bible, I wasn't seeing in the church. So I was, and I'm talking miracles and things like that. So I was searching, I was seeking. Then I had, she's deceased now, an aunt that I was talking to, and she told me about this man, a prophet, who performed miracles. And so I went, and it was very different, lively. I'd never experienced anything like that before. So that's how I got introduced to it. So
let's back up. So was it sort of like a revival that you went to, or he was speaking, performing miracles, and you were just one of the people in the congregation?
Well, let me tell you, the first time I went, it was a revival.
Okay.
And I wanted to see a miracle. That's why I went, because I wanted to see a miracle. And I wanted to see a miracle because I'd never seen a miracle before. Mm. And she said that he has performed miracles. So I'm sitting in the congregation, and I didn't tell anybody that was why I went. I didn't mention that to my aunt, and I had somebody else was there, but I hadn't mentioned it to either of them. And so while he's talking, one of the first things out of his mouth was, "Ain't gonna be no miracles tonight. Make your own miracle." I'm like, "Ooh, okay." And then I thought, I'm like, "Well, okay, Lord, I can see that. You know, use my faith." And then I don't remember anything else that he said, really. But it was an upbeat service, and it was interesting. I don't remember what he said, but he said things. It wasn't cut and dry. It wasn't like a program, like something well written out. It was like as he went, he was giving it, and it captivated me. But then there was another time that I I didn't really run into him. I was with my aunt and we were visiting one of her sons, and the prophet and his family came. And so they were in the van and getting ready to go, he and his wife and the kids. So there were some other people there too. So I was on the driver's side where he was, and he was talking, and he was kind of like giving me a history of himself, you know, saying like different things that had happened in the past. So I noticed that I'm the only woman on this side. So I went around to the side where the women were, and like, they weren't talking about anything. So I went back over there, and he was saying different things. So during that time, I used drugs, and I could stop everything except marijuana. And the only reason I wanted to stop that is because I didn't feel that God was pleased with it. And so I was telling God, like, man, I do not want to want it for the rest of my life.
You didn't want that desire.
Right. I don't want to sit on my hands and not do it. I want to not want it. So anyway, he was talking about how he prayed for different people and this and that happened. And and I was thinking, like, man, I hope he prays for me. And he did. Long story mm-hmm. short, he did. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I started going. And there were, I never saw a miracle. And actually, my mind kind of went away from that. I anticipated things, but I never saw anything. And I did learn some things there. But what happened was, it was almost like a slow walk or a covert thing going from attention on Jesus to attention on him.
Okay.
And then he capitalized on, because I was very insecure, capitalized on that. Capitalized on, he hears God, you don't. And I believed it, you know, and mm-hmm. I believed it. So it was like a slow walk into that. That's how I got involved.
So how old were you around this time?
Oh, about 30.
Okay. And so when did you realize it was a cult? Were you going to church? Did you live there?
First I was just going to some of the services. Then mm-hmm. I started following him. Okay. Now, we weren't like in a compound. Okay. It wasn't that. It was just, even though he would say like, this town is cursed, this city is cursed, and we would be in the same area, but it wasn't like that. We have some acreage of land, everybody live here. It wasn't mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So we live like in little pockets, I would say, different small towns.
But you all were together. So it was all a following, basically.
Yes.
It was part of a following, and they were following him, but you all kind of lived in the same area. When did you realize it was a cult?
Actually, there were not the entire time I was there, but a lot of the time. I couldn't even tell you when. I was there for 10 years, 12 years. Okay.
Really?
So it was at some point, I can't tell you when. Like, for instance, if he would do something or say something and it just didn't feel right to me, I would make excuses and say, well, you know, he knows more than me. He's more spiritual than I am. God will show me, you know, later. I'll understand later. Or God will show the world later, right? So yeah. I was constantly making excuses. And that had to be I would say that started probably at least halfway into it. Mm-hmm. Because the thought that I'm remembering happened probably at the 5-year mark.
So you knew something was wrong. Something wasn't right.
But I didn't trust what I felt.
Because he made you feel like he was superior and you really didn't know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Because I had bought into that lie. Okay. So there were times that God was letting me know this is not right, but I didn't trust what I felt. I didn't know that it was God talking to me. Mm-hmm. I actually thought it was the devil because it was contrary to what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I understand this. When he went out and he preached or when he spoke, you would follow him wherever he went. And yes. It was sort of like a community and a group of individuals were all together. What made you leave? What made you cut ties?
I remember him saying that, so he slept with the women, not all of them, but he slept with a lot of the women.
And that's what you hear happens most times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but he would say, he would call it a sign. So in the scripture, he used two scripture passages. One was when Rahab had the scarlet thread and she put it up in the window and Joshua and Caleb told her, we'll save you and your family, but if you tell, then we're free of this. Uh-huh. And he also used, and this was twisted, Boaz and Ruth. So when Ruth uncovered Boaz's feet, he said they slept together. Mm. So those were the passages of scripture he used. Now, everything he did, he used scripture. Right. Used scripture.
Killers use scripture too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, the thing that got me was there was this one young lady that had babies for him who used to date his son. So one time his son was saying, well, you can tell this is God because he called them conception children. Because look at all the conception children.
Wow.
And the young lady told her, these ain't no conception children. These your daddy's children.
Okay, all right. Conception children.
So anyway, you remember he said, he said that if you tell your sign, God will not use you anymore. And if God doesn't have anything to do with you, then I can't have anything to do with you. So the next time we had a service after that, he was chasing her like a little sick puppy.
Wow.
Because his son went and told his mama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then all
broke loose. Broke out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's when I'm like, okay, no. Because I always thought, okay, I don't understand this, which was par for the course. For my rationale, God's going to show the world that these are his children. Okay, so when I saw him, I'm like, you don't even believe what you said. Mm-hmm. Now, it never felt right to me. That and a bunch of other stuff didn't feel right to me. So when I saw that, I was done.
You was done. You was out. So in the course of all of this, and in the course of 10 years, how was your family? Because your family, you know, raised you in church. Yeah.
They all said it was a cult, knew it was a cult. And then what I didn't realize, they tried to talk to me, of course. They didn't just, you know, what I didn't realize, someone was telling me, my stepmother actually was saying, and my parents are deceased now, but my stepmother was telling me, she said, well, yeah, because, you know, when you come visit me and your daddy, well, we couldn't say nothing to you because if we did, we wouldn't see you. That was that. But
But you got away. You broke free.
Yeah.
And to God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, Renette, Breathe Again is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. So we talk about the issues, but we also talk about the solutions and how to move forward. if there was a young lady that was standing before you right now, or maybe listening to this show right now, mm-hmm. that is saying, hey, that's my story. That's me.
Yeah.
But I'm scared to share it. I'm scared because I feel all alone. How would you minister to that individual?
One of the first things I would tell a person, go with what you feel. Go with what you feel. And I would be afraid that I would mess up, you know, if I'm wrong about what I feel. But I will tell anybody, faith is what pleases God. Amen. And so when you would, because if you go against what you're feeling, you're moving in fear. If you go with what you're feeling, you're still feeling the fear, but you're moving in faith.
Amen.
And so faith is what pleases God. And even if you turns out that you're wrong, it's okay, because you made a faith move and God is still pleased with you. And do not allow people to tell you that God doesn't love you, that God is mad at you, that God's gonna get you.
Mm.
Because it was intimidation and manipulation, and that was witchcraft. And one day I asked God, because when I left, I just wasn't gonna say anything. You know, I wasn't gonna talk bad about him, good about him. I just wasn't. And I asked God one day, I said, you know, the only reason I ever believed he was a prophet was because he said he was. And even now, if somebody tells me that they are something, I believe it, but it doesn't mean I'm gonna take everything that fall out of your mouth. Okay, until God shows me that that's not who you are, then I'm gonna believe it. But anyway, I asked God, you know, I told him I only believed it because he said it. Who do you say he is?
Mm.
God says he's a warlock.
Mm.
And it was witchcraft.
Yeah.
Witchcraft. I don't know that people were burning candles and things like that. I can't say they weren't. I cannot say they weren't. But it was steeped in witchcraft. So back to what you asked me. If a person is manipulating you into doing something, they are using witchcraft. And it doesn't even have to be about religion, a church, a God. If a man manipulates you into going to bed with him and you don't want to, he just used witchcraft. If somebody mm-hmm. manipulates you into loaning them some money, even making you feel guilty about not doing it, that is witchcraft. So what I'm saying is go with what you feel, because that's truth. And the thing is, if you are mistaken, God will let you know in a loving way.
That's right. That's
He's
right.
a loving Father.
That's right. You'll have peace. You won't
yes.
have peace. You won't have fear. You won't have intimidation. That's
yes.
good advice. So let's talk about love. Let's talk
All
about
right.
love. So look, Renette, you are currently married, right? How long have you been married?
I have been married for about a year and a half now. I was married on Valentine's Day, 2019.
Very nice. Very nice. So yes, yeah, so you approaching 2 years, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real soon. So, but your love is unique. Love is love, but love is unique. You have a distance
yeah.
relationship because your husband is locked up. He's in prison at this time.
Yes.
So, and you're very vocal about it. You talk about it. You encourage people, but you talk about love. Talk to me about how you met him, how it came about that you married. I see a little twinkle right now. Talk
yeah.
to me a little bit about the history. Give me the backstory.
Okay. I actually met him because I was a volunteer in the prison system. So
okay.
I would go in. I actually went in with the group. It was not my ministry. And it was a class.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 50, 60 guys in the class, and that is how I met him. We went in once a week, and, you know, and I only saw him once a week, and we didn't talk any more than I talked to anybody else. And actually, I talked to other people more than I talked to him. but that's how we met. But one of the things that stood out to me about him was his mind, because he would the class was set up so that they would break off, they would break into groups, and each group had a leader, and the leaders were called revival group pastors. And so he was a revival group pastor, and as such, they took turns facilitating the night. Okay. And so when he would facilitate and talk, and he wasn't the only one that really impressed me. A lot of those guys impressed me, but he would say things, you know, and they had curriculum, and I'm like, how did you get that out of that? You know, and he was hearing God, but it wasn't like so religious that it wasn't real. So it was intellectual, it was spiritual. That is what caught my attention with him. And then at some point, and I couldn't even tell you when, it had to be in 2018, he started getting kind of fine to me.
Who did you went from pupil to prospect? Yeah. They find out you in the prison system macking on the guys.
Yeah, girl. And I'm like, and you know, I have, and I honestly was not there looking for a man. I mean, okay. I wasn't even looking for a man out here because I was good, and I wasn't just, okay, I'm going to be single and I'm going to just thank God and go on. But I was really good. It was like the first time in my life, it hadn't been long since I had gotten to the point where I was okay being single. Okay. And I loved it, and I loved where God had me. So anyway, back to him, I'm like, oh, Jesus, you have to take this away. You know, because this just can't be.
Because I keep thinking about him, Lord. I keep thinking about him.
Yeah. And and we would talk sometimes, and you know, but at one point, like for a week, girl, I had dreams and visions of us doing life and ministry together. And so I'm like, well, I don't even know really what to do with it. So I'm like, because I would see him once a week. So the day that I saw him, I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? So I decided to ask him if there was anything that he was asking God for that I could partner with him in prayer about.
Okay.
And so he's like,
did he say you?
He said, I don't know what I want. And so, and we talked a little bit more because we hadn't been talking a lot there, but then we talked a little bit more, and I went on, and class started, and we went on.
So Renette, how did it get to you being married, and how does it work? How does that work as far as you on the outside, him on the inside, on y'all inside? Are married? How's it work?
Okay, so how it got to us being married, we knew, I eventually knew that he was my husband and he knew I was his wife. So that's how it got to marriage. We did not, the thing is, we got to know each other after we decided to be in a relationship. So now when we decided to be in a relationship, I no longer went in because I couldn't go in there.
Right.
Like that. So
it was
anyway,
a conflict.
Right. So that's really how he got to marriage, because God showed us. But yeah, God literally showed us that. How I do it, it has to be the grace of God. Because I always thought women who dated guys who were incarcerated was stupid.
I mean, that's real talk. I mean, and that was your opinion. And God has proved you otherwise, huh?
He has a lot of things that stupid people, I used to think stupid people did, I have done, so.
Yeah. But, so what makes you different? What what do you say to the individuals that say, oh, this is just prison talk, or he just needs a pen pal? Because you get that a lot from right. individuals in jail, that they just need somebody to talk to. What makes it different?
Okay. And I actually believe that, I don't know. Well, it is different because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. However, he is incarcerated just like, you know, anybody else, any other guy who's incarcerated that would run game. I know he was lonely.
Sure.
But the thing that makes it different is that I know that he's my husband. And when I say God gives me grace, grace is unmerited favor. Yes, it's something you get because you don't deserve it. But mm-hmm. grace is also the ability to do. Mm-hmm. So it's a supernatural thing mm-hmm. that enables us to have this relationship. And it's not even like, I mean, and really be okay and not tolerant.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Of course uh-huh. I want him out. Sure. But I don't, it's, there's no tolerating this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. There's no heaviness. It's not a burden to be with him. He's not a burden on me. Mm-hmm. And I know, I believe that he means what he says when he says he loves me and everything else that he says, because of his actions towards me, because of the way he talks to me, because of what I knew of him before we started talking, even though I know that people can behave at church.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know that. But I've also, people have come out of nowhere and told me about the character of this man mm-hmm. and nice. How he has changed. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah. Look, you like it. I love it. That's your life. That's your life. That's right. That's right. So yeah. How may I ask how long he has? How long will it continue? Like this distance yeah. relationship?
You may, and this is another faith thing. On paper, he has a long time because he has a capital offense.
Okay.
However,
it's a long time.
Maybe 20 more years.
Okay.
Yeah. On paper. Mm-hmm. However, I trust God. And one of the things that God told me is that he would not be there that long.
Okay.
So I'm anticipating him to come home. But even if it were to be, even if he did stay in there according to what's on paper, mm-hmm. the how-to is, I have to say, everything is really just being in the center of the will of God.
Amen.
And relinquishing your will to him. And I haven't done that in all areas of my life. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, this is one area, and it wasn't even, it wasn't hard, because it's almost like he just did it.
Right.
He just did
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So my advice.
So if you had to continue with the 20 more years, you would do it.
I would. Okay. And you know, and like I said, I want him here, but mm-hmm. it's not even hard.
That's awesome. He gives you grace to do it.
Yeah.
Gives you grace to do it. He made a way. That's awesome. 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 Well, look, that has been our time.
Okay.
I bless God for you. Thank you so much for your transparency. And I know your story is going to help others. Those that are dealing with that individual that feels as though that they may be in a cult, they weren't in a cult. I know your story is going to bless them. And even that individual or that woman that is so caught up with what other people may think with them being in a relationship with someone in prison. Like, what advice would you give that individual? They know that's their significant other, but they're listening to the voices of other individuals. And so what advice would you give that person?
You know, it's probably easier said than done, but just shut out the voices. And if you have to separate yourself from people, and I don't even want to do that because I don't, sometimes you do have to separate yourself.
Absolutely. It don't got nothing to do with jail. It don't got nothing to do with prison. Yeah. That's right.
I'm not trying to say just shut down your support systems. But once again, almost just like the cult thing, don't allow people to manipulate you with what they will and won't do for you.
Yeah.
If you continue to be with that person.
Yeah.
Trust God.
Yeah.
Trust God. Trust God. And it's okay to make mistakes. It is okay to make a mistake because that's how we grow.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, look, that has been our time. I thank you so much for joining me on today. Okay. And if the audience, if the listeners want to reach out to you, how would they connect with you?
Okay. We have a Facebook page called Kingdom of God Ministries.
Okay.
And that would be, you can send me a message through there, direct message through there.
Awesome. And I will also link the page as well for the listeners. So
okay.
To God be the glory. Thank you so much for joining me on today.
God bless you.
Thank you.